Sometimes I talk with you the way I do because I have a chance to get your attention and indoctrinate you. And the devil, he kind of watches, and when you get ready to read the scripture or to preach, he throws up a block in the minds of the people. And of course, a lot of times the preliminaries have already overwhelmed the people. They find themselves in a place to where they don't have any spiritual desire. So sometimes I just start talking to you and try to explain a few things to you as the anointing speaks to you, that you might be able to make the adjustments that's necessary to be stable in Christ. As I said this morning, well, what can you say every day with God? It's the same in the sense of God's greatness. Once you come into heaven, you're in heaven. But to the world, it's just a few days and full of trouble. But God, having raised us up and set us at His own right hand, He has thus made our enemies subject unto us, and hath ordained that our greatness and our ministry and our throne and our habitation be from everlasting to everlasting, even without end, inasmuch as it was without beginning. Or then we are the beginning and the end. We are the Alpha and the Omega. We are the first and the last. We was dead, and yet we're alive forevermore. Therefore, as to thee, O God, the Father has said, thy throne is established forever, even from everlasting to everlasting. For he said, before the world was, I am. But they talked with him, and they accused him, and they said, you being a man, make yourself God. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Said he rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. And here we are, like the song we wrote, I'll Be Back Again. Susie used to sing that song, I'll Be Back Again. So here we are back again. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, back again? Well, before the world ever was, I am. So then if that's true, then I'm back again. If you was in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was, then that means that as it was said of Moses, tell Pharaoh, I am, has sent thee. That is, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am means that whoever's talking to you, that's who it is. That's him. And he said, Moses, you go tell him. So Moses went down there. So if we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and members in particular, then that means that we are the I am. For he was the great I am. And in many places you find him fulfilling that. When they said, we're looking for thus and thus, he said, I am. When they said, we're looking for life, he said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the first. I am the last. So just tell him, I am sent you, Moses. The word I am indicates that it's right now. There never was a before. There never shall be an after. It is right now. I am. I never was. I never shall be. I am. Even as you say, I was and I am and forever shall be, as to your terminology. But in my terminology, I am. I am. I always was, I always shall be, as we use the terms. But he said, I am. And I try to explain this to your satisfaction, is that you might know and understand. But see, when we think of life, we think of something that was yesterday, and we think of something that is tomorrow. And when we think of it, we get lost in those things. But a lot of times I say this to you so that you can stop and think spiritually. See, as long as you think of yesterday, as long as you think of tomorrow, then that means you are carnal and you are earthly. And as of the earth, so are they that are earthy. As of heaven, so are they that are heavenly. So then if you think earthly, then you are earthly. If you think heavenly, then you are heavenly. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. His thoughts consist of one of two things. Even the kingdom of heaven, which is Christ within you, the hope of glory, which is the thoughts of God, even the mind of God. So your thoughts will be heavenly, in that you're not of this world, for God has chosen you out of this world, having hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring, the redemption of the body, the change, Thessalonians, which this morning has to do with. Now, if you don't have that mind, then you have the other mind, which is the mind of Satan, which is the kingdom of Satan, even the spirit of Satan, that is within you, and your thoughts are earthy because he is the king, a prince of this world. He is the king of darkness. He is the prince of this world. And your thoughts are of earthly things. Your mind, it's of earthly things, which means you're dead. You've never passed from death unto life. You don't have the Holy Ghost, which is the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the kingdom of God. You don't have that because your mind is on eating, drinking, the things of this world. Your mind, it's on those things. Your mind is on buying and selling and going and traveling and doing whatever the flesh likes to do. Whatever things that's in the natural, you like to do those things. Because you are naturally minded and the love of the world is in you. So then the Spirit of Christ or the love of the Father isn't there. So when you think earthly, then are ye earthly. When you think heavenly, then are ye heavenly. The Bible said concerning those that think heavenly, let your conversation be in heaven. When you talk, don't talk about cars. Don't talk about earthly doings. Don't talk about earthly things. Because if you do, that proves that your thoughts are on that. But talk about heavenly things, godly things, revelation. Talk about the Spirit of God. Talk about the greatness. Somebody would say, oh, Brother Pike, to talk about that, man, I get tired of that. It is utterly impossible for the Spirit of Christ to get tired of receiving heavenly gold and heavenly jewels and heavenly splendor and heavenly glory and heavenly life and heavenly power and heavenly authority and everything that is eternal, that he might take this world and everything in it, from every diamond and pearl and stone or whatever it might be, every human being, and lord over it and be supreme ruler of everything, from the birds to the animals to the stars to the species of the sea or whatever. It is utterly impossible for Christ to get tired of the gifts that God gives him. So then if you get tired of it, it means you don't see anything. You haven't heard anything. You've not heard the voice of the Spirit. You don't know anything. And if you do talk religiously, you're just doting about from place to place. And just a heretic, that's all. And you're just quoting a few scriptures because you become religious minded. In that you reflect it even as the moon does the sun. So then the Bible said, the cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, that your conversation may be in heaven, your thinking may be in heaven, your ambitions may be in heaven, all of the things that you do as to endeavors in the earth would be in heaven. So I said that to say this. When you think about yesterday, today and tomorrow, then are ye earthy. When you think about God is the great I am, and there is no yesterday, tomorrow, then you are heavenly. So then, does my life consist of yesterday and tomorrow? No. No, not at all. Not at all. I want to read just a little bit here and just talk to you just out of my heart like I've been doing this morning. It's concerning Daniel. And he says here to Daniel, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. This is just as it was with Paul on the way to Damascus. The 10th chapter of Daniel, reading down at the 7th verse. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto them I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? As for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. He strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But when I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Notice something here, that it is said that the prince of Persia, and then it is said the prince of Grecia. Whereas the prince of Persia, if you'll go back and read, you'll find out that the Persians and the Medes, there's a spirit that establishes a kingdom. We brought this out one night. A spirit that establishes a kingdom. Whatever the age is, so is the spirit that established the kingdom. Now in this, it was called the prince of Persia. There was a power, there was an angel that God allowed to come down and do this. That is to have the power to work with these men to give them the victories over other armies and then establish the kingdom. If you ever wondered why it was that Israel could go out to battle and have a battle royal and maybe have just a few men, and the alien powers have thousands of men, and they would kill the thousand of men and not one of the Israelites would be killed. Have you ever considered that? A lot of times it can be in the reverse. See, this says that a prince of Persia was there. And then it says next there is a prince of Grecia. The prince of Grecia was the prince that came from the Greek people, which was Alexander the Great. That is, he was as a prince. As to the angel that stood with him being the prince, or the power of the prince, here is the prince. Same way when Joshua went over into the land of Canaan, he met a man. And Joshua was about to run him through with the sword. Said, Are you friend or foe? And he said, Joshua said, Are you on the enemy's side or our side? He said, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. So then God said, I will send my angel before you, and don't grieve him. Don't grieve him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Therefore you have to your benefit angels of God that encamp round about you to take care of you. And they've taken care of me many times. So then God is giving Daniel a vision, and he says to Daniel, he said, Daniel, this is concerning the end time, what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now then, I could speak like this morning. I could say, we are in the latter days. I could say that we are in the end time. And we're right now in the place to where God is standing for his people. We're right now in the place to where the angel of God is ready to come down out of heaven and stand for his people. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but I had a vision one time to where there was an angelic being that came down out of heaven. This angelic being came down out of heaven, and I saw him come right down out of heaven, right to a place to where our men was working, our painters. And he came right down and just went right into paint clothing, climbed up on a ladder and began to paint with them. And they didn't know the difference. He was right there with them. He was the angel of God that had come down from heaven. And he was right there with them, painting with them, doing all this time. The Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. That is to say, if a stranger comes to you, and if that thing is of God, then he may be an angel that has appeared to you in a human form. That doesn't change the doctrine of Christ. That doesn't change the Word of God. The Bible said, if one come to you, even though he be an angel, if he say anything other than the Word of God, let him be accursed. But it is a true fact that he could do that, as it was with Abraham. Many men have entertained angels, not knowing that they were talking to angels. Even Gideon didn't know he was talking to an angel till it revealed himself. Manoah and many others, because they came in a human form. And even the men of Christ's day did not recognize that they were talking with Almighty God and communicating with Almighty God, even as it is in our day. They did not recognize it. Now, so then it has always been God's way to do that, to be common, to be as man, to come down in this manner. Now, you can entertain angels unaware after this fashion, that if a man is a son of God, a woman is a true child of God, and that in heaven is neither male nor female, a true child of God or a son of God, if this be true, then the angel of the Lord encamps round about them. And you can be talking to one of them, and you should be careful how you talk with them. Careful how you approach them. Careful how you interrupt. Careful how you conduct yourself around them. Because you may be entertaining angels. Because those angels are there when you come to the house of God. The Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there is Almighty God. There is the Christ. There is the angelic host. You should be careful as how you conduct yourself in the house of God. And be more ready to hear God speak to you, and that it's not the minister speaking but God, and that they shall all be taught of God. Be more ready to hear as God speaks to you, rather than give the sacrifice of fools, which is your human reasoning, as to your thoughts about it, or as to your carnal doings or carnal ways. So then, what we're talking about is the latter times. Daniel said, and in the latter times. Or the angel said, and in the latter times. So we are in the latter times. Daniel, you can't tell it now because the vision is for many days. It's in Brother Pike's day, Daniel, not your day. But because you're beloved of God, I've let the Holy Ghost of God come down through an angelic being. I've allowed the smoothing of the Spirit that you might see way off in the future and know these things, even as God speaks to us, telling us those things that the future holds. As a matter of fact, something comes to my mind as I say that. While I was over in Natchez Trace, while the boat was parked there, we had to stay a few days, got off of it, went up to the airport, and Betty and I was talking. And I was reminded that I had seen a night vision, and the vision was of David Paul. And seeing David Paul, I saw him as he flew to the area where we were at. There, it's called the Royal Service. Brother Jerry Lambert took a flight on it, he and his wife. So then, I saw this, and I saw David Paul, and from his waistline up, and he was dressed as in a uniform. And it was a different color from anything I'd ever seen him wear. And so then I looked at it and I thought, well, this is different. And I thought in the vision, this is a change. This is the beginning of something. This is something new. And I wondered about it. I pondered over it. I mentioned it to my wife. And as I saw the vision last night of the sister being here, and I knew this morning she'd be here. Okay, now, I saw this, and I thought, now, David, I saw David, and it looked like it was in connection with this airport, which the airport is called the Royal Service. And God was telling me something. I told Brother Lambert that they'd flown that thing called the Royal Service, which he did.
the royal service. And God was connecting something with David, Paul, as to the representation of a man-child. David on one side of the cross as to the Old Testament, Paul on the other side as to the revelation of Jesus Christ. David represents one part of my ministry. George Jr. represents the other part. And I mentioned here the other day how that one went one way, one went another way, done different things. I pondered over it and I thought, now this is really something. I thought this is royal service. And I saw him in a different uniform. And what I saw him in was as a royalty. And it was yellow, and it looked like it was trimmed out in blue, or rather blue, and it looked like it was trimmed out in yellow. And I looked at it, and I couldn't understand it. The other day, I was standing down in the basement with Chuck, and I heard something just as plain say to me. It says, "Do you remember the vision that I gave you about David, Paul?" I thought, "I remember it." He said, "You couldn't understand the yellow and the blue." I said, "No, I couldn't." He said it was the jacket that you gave him. Said the new jackets that came in that was yellow and blue. And I remembered it when he said that. I said, "Dear God, that was exactly what it was. I saw it to a T. The vision was so plain, there was no way to deny it. It was that jacket. I gave him the blue jacket with the yellow trim." I think there was only two or three of those. But anyway, Sister Lambert got one of them. There's only a couple of them. Chuck got one, David got one, and Sister Lambert got one. So then, the Holy Ghost showing me things that was to come way over in Natchez, over Mississippi, I saw the vision. I saw the thing, but I didn't understand it. And yet, when I come back over into Georgia, after a few days, I heard the Lord explain the vision very clearly. There was no way to deny it. Even Chuck said, "My, anybody could see that, you know." And General, he said, "Anybody could see." I'll say, "How anybody could deny that?" He said, "That has to be God, because the Lord spoke it while I was there talking to him." So then I said that to say this. Today has to do with the royal service. Today has to do with the catching up of the man-child. And that David is a pilot. He represents that. And it has to do with the things that I spoke of. We're talking about the latter times. Daniel said in this was the latter times. The vision is for many days, he said, but now in the latter time, he said, and the vision shall speak. It shall not lie, but it shall speak and be very plain. In the latter times. So I've been born in the latter times. Have sought God as Daniel did in his day. To ask God to reveal to me what's going to befall my people, that I might know what's going on. And because of seeking the Lord and talking with God, God has made me know precisely what shall befall the people. Not only will befall my people, but He has given me an understanding from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, from beginning to end. And He's made me to understand things that I never knew. Great and mighty things that I'd never understood, that I never knew. Never dreamed that I'd know about. But He made me to understand them because of His righteousness. Because I praised Him and because I trusted in His righteousness. And because I refused to listen to anything. It didn't matter what it was, I refused to listen to it. Unless it was God, unless it was Christ. There's no wisdom outside of God. When people are trying to be wise and explain things to you and tell you things, and it doesn't glorify God, it doesn't magnify God, it lifts up the flesh, or it goes contrary to God's word, that's not wisdom, because there is no wisdom and knowledge aside from God. So then, the latter times. Here we are in the latter times. And according to the book of Revelation, the child is caught up in the middle of the week. And here we are experiencing some things that points to the middle of the week as to the allegoric things. See, the world is waiting. They are waiting. Aaron has gone into the holies of holies and he hasn't returned. The world is waiting. For as it was stated in the scriptures, as to the ascension of Christ into the holies of holies, when Aaron goes into the holies of holies, if he doesn't return the 10th day of the 7th month as to the atonement, if he doesn't return immediately, there is trouble. There is problems. God is holding him up for a purpose. So then Aaron hasn't returned, and the world is waiting for the return of Christ. But here we are, we who love the Lord, we who serve God as the church, as the membership of his body. Here we are. We're not waiting for Christ. We're not waiting for the coming of the Lord. In that Christ has returned the second time in the Spirit unto them that look for him. He hath appeared unto us. The Bible said even coming into our hearts. And it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you deny that Christ has already returned and that Christ lives on the inside of you, then that means you are part of the world. And that is Antichrist. For any man denying that Christ has come in the flesh, it means he is Antichrist. That is, he belongs to the world because they're still waiting. They're anti to that teaching because they wait for Aaron's return. And they know he hasn't returned. And they don't have him in their bosom. As the songwriter said, and that within the bosom from across the sea, does unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus, and he will give you rest. So then, if you think like they think, then you are a part of them. You're Antichrist. You are with the world. You belong out there. They're still waiting for the coming of Christ. But see, we are not waiting for the coming of Christ. We have Christ on the inside of our heart. God has come into our heart. God lives on the inside of us, and we are alive forevermore because we have passed from death unto life, and we are no longer buried and out among the dead, but we are among the living. For he was delivered for our offenses as unto death, and raised again for our justification unto life. So then, we are in the latter times, and we are they that Christ has come to. For the Lord of hosts shall suddenly come to his temple. It's written, if you'll read it, you'll find it over in the book of Malachi. You'll find it says, "And he, I send my messenger before my face, and he shall prepare my way. And the Lord whom he seeks shall suddenly come to his temple." Where is that? I'm the temple. The Bible said, "Ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost." I'm the temple. Malachi, the prophet, was prophesying of Calvary, saying that John shall come as the forerunner, and he shall become the Christ, and he shall enter into your heart and into my heart. For the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. He has come to his temple. He now dwells within his temple. And the Bible said, let all of the world keep silent, for God is in his temple. And the Bible says, in this, that he will make them to come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. Know that I have loved you. I will make them kneel at your feet. So then we know by that we as the body of Christ will be magnified. We're going to be lifted up in these latter times while we wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not that we're waiting for sonship, for John said, beloved, now are you already the sons of God. But he said, you wait for the manifestation. You wait for your body to be changed. You wait so the world can see that ye are sons of God. So then, beloved, if we're already the sons of God, then we pass from death unto life. Because you cannot become a son of God unless you pass from death unto life. If there's still danger of death, you are not a son of God. You may be a believer, and you might have come up to the place to receive life, but never have received the Holy Ghost. Never having received it, then you don't have life. You're only a believer. You are approaching in the right way. But if you've received the Holy Ghost, then your spirit has been translated into the Spirit of God, and you're taken away from death, and you cannot die. Never again can you die. It's over for you. All over. You're not waiting to come to any certain place. It's all over. Someone would say, well, praise God, in that it's all over, I can satisfy my flesh now and do these things that my flesh enjoys doing. And just lay that back. It's all taken care of. The mere fact that you even have that desire proves the love of the world that you didn't get it.
that you became religious. Can you taste of the Holy Ghost and not have it? You sure can. Can you get in the presence of the Holy Ghost and not have it, reflect it? You sure can. The Bible said, be made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasting of the Word of God and the powers of the world to come. Said, and then fall away. It is impossible to renew you again to repentance, because it would take another crucifixion to take away your sins the second time, and this could never be. So then the mere fact that you would want the things of the world prove that you missed it. The mere fact that your hunger and thirst is not according to the nature of Christ proves that He's not in your heart. Just the fact that you're not trying with all of your heart to love Him with all of your strength, to love Him with all of your mind, to love Him with all of your desire of spirit and heart, strength and mind, proves that you didn't get Him. Proves that you don't have Him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind, with all of thine heart, with all of thy strength. My heart must be completely given to God. My strength must be all to do something for God and nothing included. My mind must be completely upon God, even to the intent of every thought brought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Meditating in the things of God day and night. So then it's obvious that they that do not have the hunger and thirst shall never be filled. For he that hungers after the world shall be filled with the world. He that hungers after the things of God shall be filled with the things of God. So Daniel said in the latter times, as to the last days. We're living now in the last days. We're living now in the latter times. So then these things are taking place, even Daniel's vision. But now we've come to the place to where the Lord of hosts has come to his temple. And he said, Daniel, and the Lord of hosts shall suddenly come to his temple. Malachi says, and the Lord of hosts shall suddenly come to his temple. The Bible speaks of the latter times of Daniel, when the temple of God shall be rebuilt. Rebuilt in the latter times. And it is said concerning the beginning of the last days, as when the church ages came. When one of the writers stood up in the midst of the congregation, or at the apostolic meeting at Pentecost, and said, for thus it is written, I will return in the latter time to the last day, saith God. And I will build up the fallen down house of David, which was the temple that Solomon built out of the material that David gathered. And it was called the house of David, because Solomon was David's son. So then he said, I will return, and I'll build up this fallen down house of David. I will do it in the last days. Paul said, I am a wise master builder. Ye are the lively stones. I have the blueprints of God, as Moses did. I'm sent to the Gentiles. I'm the overseer, as Moses was to Israel, as Peter was to the Jews. So am I to the Gentiles. I am the wise master builder. Christ is the chief cornerstone. And ye are those beautiful stones built up into a lively place for God's habitation. As to a building, he said, ye are God's building. Ye are God's temples. Even the Holy Ghost, Christ, shall dwell within you. The mind of Christ is the capstone. It is the chief thing in your life. And all of your doings and thoughts come up to one place, and that's to him. Casting down imagination till he capstones everything. So then, they will return in the latter times as to Moses and Elijah and the others to build a temple. There shall be erected unto Christ a natural temple. That is unto Jesus. There shall be a natural temple with a natural 1,000 years reign. A millennium reign where the curse will be lifted and this earth will come back to its first condition as to when God so loved it that he gave his son the foreknowledge to secure it and redeem it. It'll come to the millennium. It'll come to the peaceable age. It'll come to the age of Joseph, where Joseph shall rule and reign as in the millennium, as in the days of Joseph. So was the days of Joseph as to show the millennium. And so then, Christ shall reign. Christ within the body of Jesus. And the garment that Christ wears will be the blood stains of the body of Jesus
the coat of many colors, bearing the sins of the blood of the red man and the white man and the yellow man and the black man, bearing the sins, the blood, Joseph's coat of many colors. They said a beast has killed him. A beast did this. And the brethren threw him into a pit. The Jews, which was the brethren of Jesus, born among the Jews, they said, we're not guilty. The beast, the Roman beast, killed him. They killed him. So then they said, we're not guilty. We're not guilty, but yet they delivered Jesus into the hands of the Roman power. They delivered him to the powers of the Roman. And that they said, it's not lawful for us to put one to death. And the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, they said, let his blood cover us. And so it was that it covered them. And so then Joseph, going down into the heart of the earth, down to the souls in prison, and then coming up, raised again for our justification as Christ, the hope of glory within you. Joseph coming up. Joseph who refused to take up time with the world. Joseph that didn't want the things of the world, the frivolous things of the world, in buying and selling and frolics and doing the things that pacified and satisfied the flesh. Joseph that said no to all of these things. Joseph said, God and God alone, I'll follow Christ. And so then he refused to take up time with the world. And he rend himself out of the garment of the world. That's what we do as children of God. If we do not walk in the flesh, if we refuse to go after the flesh, if we'll have nothing to do with the flesh, then that means that we rend ourselves from this fleshly garment of harlotry that the world has laid hold on. We rend ourselves from this garment, and the Bible said, and the veil was rent in two. And the world took the garment as the ill-famed woman did. Grabbed the garment, but Christ went out of the garment and left it hanging in her hand. This Christ, whose members ye are, members in particular, if you are really the members of the body of Jesus, you'll rend yourself from that garment of harlotry, that has the sentence of death in it, that body that's fleshly, the fleshly desire. You'll let your conversation be in heaven. You'll let your thoughts be upon Jesus. You'll be working to try to do something for God, because you'll leave that garment behind in the hands of the world. It'll be buried in the baptism of the name of the Lord out in the watery grave. And you'll rend yourself from that. And God will choose you out of this world and hide you with Christ, which is in heaven, which is in the Spirit. And you won't walk in the flesh. You won't walk after the things of the flesh. You won't desire the things of this world. For the Bible said, they that belong to God, they have mortified the flesh with the deeds, the desires, and the affections thereof. And so then, you don't walk after the flesh, and you don't do the things of the flesh. You walk after God, and you follow God. And you're God's Joseph. You're God's members in particular. You're God's man-child. You're the ones that's been caught up to the throne, and you're not in the flesh anymore. You're not desiring the things of the flesh anymore. So then, when we think of this, we see what a great salvation this is. Christ has suddenly come to his temple. Christ in the millennium, dwelling inside of the body of Jesus. God dwelling in Jesus' body, because that is the new garment. That is the coat of many colors, redeemed from the dust. You are God's coat of many colors, nationally, internationally, whatever. You are God's, according to creed, color. You are God's coat of many colors. Christ dwells inside of your body, whether it be the red man or the white man or whatever it might be. He is wearing his coat of many colors. He isn't in the world. He's not in the world. He's out of the world. He's out of the midst of the harlots. He's going to rend himself from them in a day to come, to the extent of their recognition that God is not among them. He has left them as those among the dead. And he rend himself from them. And God Almighty has entered into his temple and has suddenly come to his temple. by the spilled blood of Calvary, by the coat of many colors that received the blood stains, Christ has suddenly entered into his temple, whose temples ye are, if ye are in the spirit and not in the flesh. So then he's put on his beautiful garment. The Bible said, put on thy beautiful garment, O Zion. That is, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust and the desire thereof. You say, Brother Pike, how can I put on Jesus? The Bible said as many as have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. Which means that I put on Christ by denying my flesh. I take off that mind that is a covering that is not of him. Not the covering of his glory, but the lust of the flesh. The intellectual robe of darkness. I take that off. And I gradually, day by day, convert to the mind of Christ. And I disrobe in the sense of the garment that Joseph left. And I put on the garment of Christ. As down into the heart of the earth, as down to the prisoners, as down through hell itself. And then being resurrected, being brought up. I am putting on the garment of Christ, that I might appear in the wedding garment, even the body of the Lord Jesus. For my wife's wedding garment is my body. If she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, she thus has the right garment. If I put on the body of Christ and I'm found with the body of his righteousness, then the body of my sin is taken away. Gone because of Calvary. And I'm no more what I was. In the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And that fleshly evil is gone. That sentence of death is gone. It's over and it's gone. And I am no more in the flesh. I am now made a quickening spirit. Therefore my soul cannot sin. Because when I came into this world, I was made a living soul. And I was subject to sin and death. But when God secured me, then he put me over in another place. And in this place, God made me to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which means I am no more the sinful body that I was. I am now his beloved body, which is his garment of righteousness. My spirit has put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've not made provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desire thereof. When you buy something, you might go out and buy something out of a store. It could be clothing. It could be food. It could be automobiles. It could be land, not out of the store, but you could buy land. You could buy houses. You can buy guns. You can buy horses, cattle, anything that is to satisfy the flesh and the desires of the flesh. But I haven't made any provisions for that. I've tried to make provisions to fulfill the desire of my soul and to hunger and thirst after the things of righteousness and the things of God. Knowing that we're heavenly, the Bible said, set your affection on things above, where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, your heart shall be there also. Buy something, it doesn't matter what you get, the first news you know, your heart is on it. So if you don't buy it for God, leave it alone. If you can't use it for God, get rid of it. Don't have it. If it doesn't glorify God, then get rid of the thing because you don't need it. It'll lead to no good. Somewhere down the line, it'll lead to no good and it'll cause you problems. So then, the latter days, the latter times, Christ within his temple. I was just thinking of how that in the last day or two, these things had taken place. I preached the other night on the conquering of death. And gave the experience step by step as I understood it. And then here comes Christmas time, the birth of the child. And then all of a sudden, there's a little one that comes into the world. And we had felt sure that there would be added to the family a little boy. And so then, all of a sudden, something begins to take place allegorically right here in our own midst. And I had been watching things for quite a number of days. And I spoke of it a few days ago. Betty and I was driving along, going to Atlanta, Georgia, taking Danny over to the lawyer there to have a talk. And I told Betty, I said, Betty, it's going to be 3 o'clock. Son said, we'll get there on time. I said, no, it's going to be 3 o'clock. So as it was, though the appointment was at 2, it was 3 o'clock. just like the Lord showed. As we started through the areas of the suburban areas of Atlanta, when we started through those areas, I looked and we was going past DeKalb General. And I heard the Lord talking to me. And I said, Lord, this time of season and the birth of the man child is typically related to the General Hospital where we're right there at the church. Where you turn the corner, it comes out of the pyramid, the church sits there. And at that time I looked up and I saw a big billboard with a mother, a newborn babe in her arms. And I was talking to Danny and my wife, telling them what I understood concerning the revelation, the things that had taken place. And then you know how that the frankincense, the myrrh, the gold, all came in. And one thing right after another. And you know how that I was taking those two garments, one that Betty has, the other one that I had with the gold on it. You know how I was taking it about 20 minutes till 4 or 3:30, somewhere along in there. I was taking it into the house. And at that time I spoke of the woman going into the wilderness as the church. And what it had to do with. And Haley's coming. All of these things beautifully took place. I spoke of it as on tape. I spoke of it the other day. So then going from there, we continued to make the little seals. We continue to stamp the smocks. I explained how that righteousness, as to the colors of the rainbow, science say they're all in white, which represents righteousness. And I explained how that the little rainbow that was around the smock that Betty received had to do with the given attributes of God. Out of the whiteness, he needs no rainbow. But the wife gets the rainbow. The church ages of the seven angelic messengers. Now I'm not going into that because I spoke of it the other day. Unless the Lord wants me to go that way. So then, the rainbow, the covenant, the righteousness of God. The righteousness which is of Christ. So then, this beautiful thing. God put a rainbow over the throne which is in my heart. God has put a covenant in my heart, even the rainbow. And as George Jr. said, when the ship docked over in Meridian, Mississippi, or rather over in Vicksburg, where the battle was, it has to do with the meridian, which means the separation, the change, or the time divider, which is very allegoric if we had time to go into it, as to the past, present, and to the future. But anyway, here we see the righteousness. It was last night in the early part of the night that we was doing some smocks and doing some coats. And at this time, Brother Richard brought his little one. And he let me see the little one. He gave the little one to me and I was sitting there holding it, looking at it. And we was talking about what the revelation had to do with of the coming of the little one at this time. So then, as the Bible said, a child is born, a son is given. Unto us the son is given. Unto us it is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Unto us it was given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Of his kingdom there shall be no end, for he shall reign forever and ever. And so then, at this time, the true members of the body of the Lord Jesus, the true members, not only at Bethlehem, but throughout the world. The true members of the body of the Lord Jesus that is represented by Bethlehem. For the child is born in Bethlehem. And he said, Bethlehem, thou art not the least, we say little Bethlehem. Thou art not the least among the cities of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth a governor. And the Bible said, and the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Nor a lawgiver from between the feet until Shiloh be come. Thou art not the least among Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor, and he shall govern my people, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was he came. At little Bethlehem in the west, so it is today, as to back to the east. As it was to the east, to the west, now it is to the
west back to the east. And so then, the brother, the wife coming from the west, having again to do with Brother Branham, and death being conquered as it is on her dad, goes back to the steel of the rod of iron, the man child. And on the brother's side, it goes back to the Jesus side of conquering death, for his dad is retired from the railroad, which means it's over and gone, and that has to do with death. And so then within the two, representing the time and the season, the age, we see something that has taken place. That means that the true members of the body of Jesus throughout the entire world, those true members are now coming together, represented by a little Bethlehem here as to those that have received the revelation. And of course, there's not very many of them that has received the revelation. Fear not, little flock. The Bible said, few there be that shall find it. Strive to enter in, for many shall try and not be able. But seeing that this happened, it was so beautiful, even as to the door that Brother Atlee cut in the ark up where Rick was there in the side of it. And as to the one we cut in the side of it there on the first day. Now, seeing this, as we sat and talked, God revealing Himself in simplicity, using human beings to project what He's doing, we had spoke of the birth of the man-child. We had taken those coats, the one with the wings, the smock, taken it inside. It was of that day I had dismissed service on the night, the last night, to where it would be early. That gave a chance for the girls and Bubba to go to the hospital, which was DeKalb General. Sister Lambert, Brother Jerry allowed her to take them. The seven of them that had to do with the church ages, as we spoke of, the ending of the church ages. So as to the west, Brother Branham, the ending of the church ages, and the name Jesse Lee. As to the house of Jesse, and as to Lee, which is among their family, as to Lee, the old saying, the South shall rise again. So then, as to the name Lee, the relativeness of it, as to the families, or as to what's taking place. Gracie, going down into Corpus Christi, Ricky into Tucson, and the different things we've spoken of, many things are taking place. Many multiplied things that I don't mention to you. Many of these things that I know that I never mentioned to you, to hurry along, to try to just give you a little indoctrination in our 45 to 60 minute services as to the preaching. So then, while we was there, the little one was brought, and then when the little one left, we continued on to do what we were doing, having made the last seal of the 1, 2, 3 by land, sea, and air. God created the heavens, the seas, and the earth. Having completed that one that said world evangelism, we had just placed the middle seal. The first seal as to the wings we brought in gold. The second seal we made in silver that had the trumpets on it. And then the third seal that had the mobilization seal, which was the world evangelism seal, that had all of them in one. The sea, the boat, the plane, aviation. And of course, the trucks and the buses, the mobilization. So then, as to the aviation, as to the marine, as to the mobilization, all of them was in the last ones. This had the little hearts on it. And of course, you can't see it, but it's right there now on the back of this shirt. You could never tell just exactly from that distance. But anyway, we had put it on one of the red coats, and the cloud veiled everything, even the revelation of Jesus Christ as that of Moses. And then we put it on this shirt, whereas it was prior to that, it was on this shirt as unveiled. So then,
This shirt is called Joseph's Coat of Many Colors. And on the inside of it, it has the millennium. For Joseph reigns in the millennium. For Joseph was the one that had the bread in the time of the famine. For the Bible said, in the latter times there shall come a great famine for the hearing of the word. So then, living in the hour of the great famine, we're waiting for Jesus, the Joseph of God. So then, who is the Joseph of God? Even the members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And who is the Joseph of God as to the Christ, as to that which is coming into our hearts, Christ in his temple? Who is the Joseph of God? Is not him and his wife one? Is not the expectancy as to the child? So then, what has happened? As the little child was taken away, then there came a little star. Brother Armstrong had gotten hold of a beautiful little star. A little star like this when you see here on the sacred dais, with little lights, 11 of them, as to the apostolic foundations, as to Judas gone, but not as unto one missing, in that he gave me two little lights, as to one as to Judas gone, and one as to replacement, or that is to make the 12. So then, God allowing that, Paul being the replacement, in the sense not of the foundation, but of the capstone. So the revelation of the Son of God that took John up into heaven, that took Paul up into heaven, and that has taken the church up into heaven, as to them that have received, of them that know, that them that understand. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So whatever he gets, as to his understanding, his indoctrination, his thoughts, it's the power of translation. For in the beginning was the Word, and there wasn't anything else, and it done everything that was to be done, because before the Word, as to a sound, it was the thought. So then, as to your thoughts, that's what you are. When you think about yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then that's what you are. When you realize that with God there is no yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then that's what you are. The sun goes around the hill, but God never did see the darkness, because God dwells in light. And the Bible teaches that he that is born of God is light, and he dwelleth in the light. For Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Therefore, darkness never comes. He never sees the darkness come, because as it was with Joshua, the sun stood still and the moon stood still. They crossed the Jordan and the job was done. For there was no night. Even in the history of the world, there was no day as that day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. The Bible said, let us rejoice, as the songwriter said, and be glad in it. The walls of Jericho fall, which are the walls of fleshly habitation of those that are out yonder, while we sound the trumpets with the seven times of the church ages, and while we're shouting the victory of God, the walls are getting ready to crumble, because it was at the end of the church ages, or the end of the march of Joshua, that all of them came into one mind and one accord, as it was the day of Pentecost. And it wasn't something that was segregated and broke up, but all of them shouted together in one great shout. And of course, that's the trump of God. For it said, his voice sounded like many waters, and John likened his people to waters. And so then the walls are falling. They are falling. They're falling with heresy, doctrines of devils. They're falling with diseases. They're falling with theft and murder and lying. They're falling. They're crumbling. They're breaking their own laws. And Jesus said, a divided house cannot stand. He that is divided against himself, he can't stand. They're divided. And so then, we're coming together now for the trump of God. And the trump of God shall sound. And ye that are buried in Christ as into a watery grave shall begin to take up arms against Lucifer. And the Bible said, in the saints of God, though they are worn out, they shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And the manifestation of it is Thessalonians chains. So then the star was brought, the little star. And then immediately following the little star, this shirt. was brought down and was stamped with world evangelism and with the sea, the land, the air. A colt was stamped as to the goal, stamp of 3-in-1 is all of them. And this coat was stamped as to the Joseph's coat of many colors, as to the Joseph roof, as to the millennium on the inside, as to the resurrection, in that it came from Brother Mitch's family, him having been an undertaker. So then we see this as to the coming of the Lord, as to the dedication of the child, that's symbolic. And we see this as to this morning, in that the myrrh came, and the myrrh came, and the frankincense came, and the gold came. And all of these many things as to the white smock, and as to the rainbow around the white smock, severally divided up among the ladies as to one color, to each division as to 12 divisions, as to the apostolic foundation of the righteousness of God, which is by Christ Jesus, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. It isn't how much I fasted. It isn't how much I prayed. It isn't how much I've given. It isn't how good I've been. It's my faith in God as to what God has done, what God said He would do, what God is doing, what God is going to do. So then in this, as we said concerning Olive Branch, going to set a meeting in Olive Branch, waiting for the right time and the right things. Not necessarily right there at Olive Branch, but within the areas of numbers of miles, even the place that God has put in my heart. And somebody all of a sudden has said that they came out of the islands, I believe, or somewhere, and they saw a beautiful rainbow over Olive Branch, or within the area. I believe they said within 100 miles, which would fit perfectly in what we had in mind. And said they saw a dove come down from heaven. He entered into the rainbow, and all began to drop all around upon the people, and they began to rejoice. So then, as the Bible said, and the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful in that day. You know the dove that we've got concerning the plain as to the catching up? It left concerning the resurrection as to that which is in the water, which was the dove, as to the ship after the worms attacked it. It come through that. Once it come through that, as the worms attacked, it indicated resurrection, and the name went to the little engine, or the little plane with the twin engines, that is. So then, God setting the things with the meetings. They're wanting us to come down in Columbus, Georgia. We had planned to go. We went there one time and had a meeting that had to do with the connection of Olive Branch. And little Buddy Williams had asked us to come there as we had intended to go down. So then God doing that. And then as to the resurrection concerning Brother Davis and the big plane and the properties of Florida, of Macon. And then on down toward Florida, the properties that Kim Williams has given, which has to do with Mary and the birth. His mother, Mary. And as it was with Brother Morris's coat, I made the statement that Don would return. Brother Clyde said, "Do you think he'll come back?" I said, "He'll be back." So he returns, having gone to Washington. And even the thing that happened last night concerning the eggs, which is a foolish little thing, no one perhaps noticed, concerning Lithia Springs, something that happened to me as a child in New Jersey, where we had the meeting and spoke of the vision that Chuck had as to Washington, as to the thesis, as to Martin Luther. So then Don came back. Don, the boots that I wore of Joseph, the night of the snow, we speak of this just at random to tie it together. Brother Morris from Marysville, his coat is hanging down there. When all the others took their coats down, his still hangs there. As to the birth, back to the women's smock. Back to the coats. So then, something was said as to that recently happened that had to do with Brother Morris and the coming of the little one. So then, Don is back. Don has cast off the old way of life, chosen a new way of life. Came out all shaved and cleaned up, looked real nice, his car washed and cleaned up. Come out and went to work and worked yesterday and helped us. Had the little problem before he left went to the man that was injured and paid him money on his bill to the extent that the man broke down and cried. See, that which we spoke of as coming out of the shale, coming out of the old, coming out of corruption, being caught up to little Bethlehem as to the throne, as to the Word of God. Even as Don told me when he called me, and he said, I can't stay away. He said, something's in my heart that I can't stay away. He said, even if they put me in jail, I'm coming back to little Bethlehem. So, just before corruption, God, as the boat, God picks us up. God does that. The names, highly significant. The area, God picking the areas. God did the land of the midnight sun when he took Betty and myself over there. God picking this area as to seven governors or eight governors, as to the area of Mount Vernon, as to the Monroe Doctrine, as we say, and as to the many things, as to Sheriff the Thorns or Thornton, as to the other things. But it was amazing how that God took and done those things. We spoke of something concerning the winning edge the other day as to the name of the coat that Brother Gary Armstrong gave us. And as to the coat that was Franklin the Free Man that was stamped, as to the blood that Brother Taylor gave us. And so then the little star, I took it home last night. Betty put it, surprisingly enough, having to do with Carolinas, having to do with the lad, having to do with the West, having to do with George Jr. going out to Tucson, having to do with Brother Gary that was their pastor in the Carolinas to the extent that he was co-pastor there, carrying a stack of books of Brother Branham. They put that little star right in the place of the eagle. They've taken the eagle down and put it right directly in its place over the arch or the doorway. It was flashing when I got up this morning and come out. Somebody had had a vision where somebody come and give me $20,000. And Don came and gave me a box of candy that was made like money with the $20,000 on it, which must have some significance. I put it out on the table. It looked so real. I said, here's some candy, Betty, that Don brought. She looked, she said, candy? You know, because it looked real. But anyway, he brought it the other night, you know. There was something to it, even the name of the candy, the money, and whatever. But I said all that to say this, that many hundreds of things are taking place that you'll never see perhaps. You'll never know anything about. Many multiplied things that we don't see anything about, like the boiled eggs that come down and the different things that people provide, and many multiplied things that are fillers and details that makes a beautiful picture as though you put a puzzle together. See, you'll never know this because some of the brethren we mention one thing to, some of the brethren we mention another thing to. I spoke of Cohotec, how it had to do with that dirty tail that it picked up as it passed the sun, as to the degree of God, as to being filthy and condemned, and the deaths that he brought about in the chains. And then we spoke of that having to do with Satan, and this having to do with Halas coming, as to Christ. See the difference. One as to Antichrist, one as to Christ. And right here, sure enough, as Halas passes over, what happens? It's symbolic of the coming of the man-child. It is Christmas. And it's to show right on through Christmas, over into the springtime. So then, this is great. This is wonderful. It hasn't been here, what, in 80 years? So then, knowing that all of this points to one thing, and that is the invisible Christ being almost ready to come forth in the natural that he might sit upon the throne of the millennium. Meaning that the church world has come to its closing age, the latter times. And meaning that the government has come to its consumption, even its failure, even its evil. That it must be replaced with a great government. Even the coming of the government of God, even Washington, our father. Our father of the nation that established the nation, that gave us rights in that he was the father of it, gave us the rights to do away with the Constitution that is corrupt and bring in another, saying that I saw the economy fall as Allen saw the Statue of Liberty crumble. I saw it fall, he said. And then I saw another intervention and it From what it appeared, it was a divine intervention, which I believe is Revelation 19. This power came, and these horsemen and whatever, and they reestablished this great union of the faith. And this great economy was raised up. And the nation survived the crisis. And the government was reestablished as unto an end that it would not fall anymore, which would have to be the millennium. As to the woman that said to Washington, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." So then, being pinned down there, I'm sure that you've been there, I have, around Delaware, there at the river, being pinned down there in the snow, and then breaking loose to go over to a victory. In that there was no victory, he did it by faith in God. So then, in the area of Mount Vernon, and the things that's taking place, and the governors, and what we have here as our governors, as to what God has given us, as to Monroe, as to Egypt, as to the church, that which God brought out of Egypt, as to Bethlehem. That is, they being afraid, they closed in to try to stop us, as the Egyptians was afraid of the Israelites. So have the people of Monroe been the same of us and tried to stamp us out. Because they perceived, yet Satan perceived, that we would outgrow them and become a great people. Which we have done, even excelling the bounds of Monroe, going into the neighboring towns and counties and across the states and into the foreign countries, and still growing by the radio broadcast and the literature and all the other things that people that are joined in with us. Far excels Monroe, speaking to thousands and tens of thousands of people. So then, the little star was given. Joseph's coat of many colors was stamped with the mobilization seal as to having the completeness of what we was doing with the seals. And then after midnight, we come home. Where there's many multiplied things that happen in this transitional change. Some that's staggering that happened during this period that we haven't made mention of. And from time to time as we go along, we'll make mention of some of these things. But at this point, I'm going to try to find a place here to close. Speaking of the latter times, speaking of the things that's taking place, speaking of the significance of this morning, speaking of the man-child being caught up to the throne as to what it is and what it will be. Even as I go to dedicate the child, it indicates the child being caught up to the throne, even as Samuel, because they'll bring the child forth and they'll bring it up here to these candlesticks or to this area. As to the catching up, as to the rule of Joseph, as to the famine, as to the new harvest, as to the old having gone out, as to the crossing of the Jordan, that is over the intellectual, carnal reasoning of human education and human thinking, which is death, human desire, coming into the mind of Christ, which is the other side of the Jordan, coming into the mind of Christ, crossing over. What is crossing over? Your mind that's infiltrated with the Jordan, the flow of evil that's flowing down from the garden, coming all the way down to drop into the Dead Sea, as we say, the lowest place in the world. Coming down to the bottomless pit. Satan, who falls as Adam from the garden, the expulsion, Revelation 12, cast out. Going down to the bottomless pit. Going down. And in your mind, your life, your spirit freed that from the Egyptian side over to that of Canaan's side, from man to Christ, man's spirit to Christ's spirit. And by the way of the wilderness, which is Satan's spirit, the intellectual, which is interwoven with man's spirit to put man in a wilderness until it can end at Calvary, as to them being swallowed up by the blood that pursue, as to religious knowledge, knowing and can't perform. Then through the wilderness, as to Jordan, the overcoming of the final thing where intellectual doctrine is left behind, where Moses stops, and where the Christ of the revelation takes you right on over your human reasoning into a world of spirit, into the great world
that we are in right now and this wonderful thing that we are enjoying. So then, it is so beautiful. The giants in that angels are a little greater than man. They mean nothing to us. We can overcome them without any problem. Every power of opposition that works in every person, as to the law, as to politics, as to poverty, as to problems, as to sickness, we've overcome it by faith in God and entered into the great, wonderful blessings of Christ. Even as you have overcome poverty and entered into your riches, in that you have a lot of natural riches. So then the church has received the natural riches. We have received the spiritual inheritance, which is the spiritual riches. And God, in return, having sought the kingdom, has given you all things, added even that other that they would have taken away from you, and wrestled it out of Satan's hand. And that's why he's pursued us and fought so hard, because he's the prince of this world and he hath right to natural things. And he wanted to claim us, even as he did the body of Moses. He wants to claim us, even as he did those that were in the past and their properties. But he forgot that we've changed from flesh to spirit, and that he isn't the ruler over us. He isn't God over us. He is God of this world, but we're not of this world. Therefore, Christ is our God. And we are free from the beguiling elements of this world and the laws of nature and the gravitational laws of confinement. We've broken all of those laws, the laws of nature. We've broken those laws. We've overcome those laws. We've folded them up and we've laid them away. So it's wonderful to be up here where we're at. It's wonderful. Wonderful to be up here where we're at. And I'm thankful for these things, and I'm thankful for many other things that, as I said, we've not said. The little things that perhaps you never noticed, that we've got one of our heaters is going this morning. The coal is gone, which means resurrection and life. Even the blower has a combination air conditioning. I spoke of it back in our early meeting that we had here as to the Jubilee meeting, or what we call the camp meeting, the independence. I spoke of it as to the breath of life into the child. So then we have the other. For these have symbolic meanings and relate back to the prophets and to great, great meaning. As to one of them now, the rending of the veil, as to the dividing, as to part of them that did not have the heat, and as part of them that did have the heat. As to those that are one side, as those to the other. Whereas this morning would seem strange, because to my left side, I believe that's where the heater is that right? On my left side, so they have the heat. And to my right side, you are those that are of the dead, as to the symbol. But on the other hand, if these on the left begin to boast, then what is said that the goats is on the left and the sheep is on the right? So see, six of one and half a dozen of the other. Can you really tell what it is? God so fixed it to where nobody is embarrassed and nobody's hurt. Well, there's one thing for sure, and that is the revelation is taking place. The revelation of the Lord is taking place. I'm going to stop at this point and give you a chance to get you some dinner. And I'm going to ask Brother Richard, the wife, ask them to come and bring the little one, just like I saw in the vision last night. And we're going to pray. Going to pray over them. And it was really something. They brought the little one last night. He was dressed in blue. And he had a little rainbow collar, just like the rainbow that was around the smock. And this morning when the Lord told me to put on this shirt, or led me to put on this shirt, I went to get another shirt. When he led me to put this shirt on, as I put this shirt on, I put the red coat on, and I just pulled it up against my collar. And some said, take the collar out. I said, no, I just leave the collar in. And then suddenly I become aware of the fact the Lord was telling me something. So after a while I pulled the collar out. When I pulled the collar out, he said, see? Said the rainbow around the neck, as the child was last night. The little rainbow. And I looked, and that's all it was. It was my red coat and the little rainbow collar around the neck. God doing things in simplicity, and God speaking, and God telling us this of the golden wings that went on the coat, this as to the winning edge, and this as to the smock that came from Brother Mitch's wife, which goes back to the death. That rainbow on the white smock indicated the resurrection of the body, which is the bride. And so then, that which was given to us as to the two garments, I brought them home. Brother Gary brought me a transparency, a coat cover. It was clear, could see through it. It is a seal. We put the coat with the wings inside. After slipping it on, we took it off, put it inside, zipped it up. And I believe I put the smock end in it. Either way, I put it in. I hung it up, which indicated the sealing in. The sealing in of the bride with the head. The sealing in, sealed in together as to Christ and the bride. Because what those things represented was the church and the coming of the Lord and the members of His body being sealed in, your spirit being sealed in. You might say, Brother Pike, do you mean at this time God has sealed our spirits? No. I mean that He sealed it in His foreknowledge before the world ever was, for the Bible said this was given you in Christ before the world ever was. He sealed you in, and it was brought to light at Calvary as to the recognition of the sealing in. You've always been sealed by His foreknowledge as to elect, keeping yourself, if the evil one touch you not, that you be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, His bride. But it is only at this time that it is made manifest, in that you don't receive anything till you know about it. Though you have an automobile, if nobody's told you, it's yours. You don't know where it's parked, and you don't know that it belongs to you. You don't know that you have one. It is the knowledge and the enlightenment of someone's words that gives you the car, though you've had it all the time, purchased and put there for you. So then it is the words of the minister. It is these things that we're preaching about. This is the enlightenment of the end time, the comprehending of the heights, the depth, the width, the length. Your understanding being enlightened. That makes you heir to the seal. In that the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. That is your spirit inwardly. Being sealed unto the day of the body outwardly. Is changed and redeemed from any corruption. So God sees it as a finished product, as sealed. So then you've been sealed, but now is the recognition. So to recognize is to receive. To recognize is to make it effective. Though you're healed by His stripes, to recognize, to believe, to receive is to be sealed from the disease. To decree it in your heart is to bring it to pass. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And so then that's the way it is. The seal, Brother Gary brought the seal. There having to do with the Armstrong catching up to the moon. The different things. As to Brother Taylor, Franklin the free man. Back to that which God has done. See, sealed in. Is the church therefore at this time sealed in? Could it be possibly that God has sealed the church in? God hath sealed the church in. He has sealed the church in. Friend, they've always been sealed in. Even from His foreknowledge, they've never done anything wrong. Never. He sealed them in before they were born so they couldn't do anything wrong. So they'd be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He gave His grace to make sure that none of their mistakes could be laid against them. Paul said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It was His justification. That by faith. Justification means you never done it. It's been proven that you never done it. So then He took our sin that it might be said of you and I that we never done it. That it never was. So this is how beautiful it is to serve God and how lovely God is. How wonderful God is when He said it is finished. So, is the church sealed in? Most assuredly the church is sealed in. And if we are those that know this, and we are they that understand this, and we know that it's Jesus, and it's not another, but it's Jesus. And if we know that it's Jesus, and that the Christ has suddenly returned to His temple, and that He hath overcome, that He is the victor, that He hath folded up and laid away. And that in what we do, that He is with us. In that our battle is not carnal. Our warfare is not carnal. But we wrestle against powers and evils and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. But still we are the victor. And the red dragon is cast out. And Lucifer is gone. It is gone. And it is no more. In that the red dragon represents the blood. And the blood represents the rent veil. Even as we took the coat off. As Brother Taylor, as to Moses and the law. Folded up, laid away, as to Calvary, as it hangs on the little rack that Brother McLean brought. As to Calvary, taking away the blood of the beast and bringing into focus the blood-dipped vesture on the other side of Calvary, as it will be when we pick up the coat. So then, that going out as to that life of sin and then the life of the little one comes. So then, I'm going to ask the brother to bring it right up here. And we're going to pray and we're going to dedicate the little one. We're going to ask God to bless it as we always do. And God to bless him and his companion. And like I say, you that are not spiritual, you could never see it. You could never see these things. This church is filled with allegoric meaning. Even the fans that spin over your head. The little booth that's in the middle, the candlesticks. I didn't build this. I didn't draw this up. This is the house that God built because it represents His temple. As Brother J.T. said, even as the Ark of the Covenant, something within this temple that is yet to be revealed that they have never seen. What is it? The hidden manna, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because out there in the world somewhere, some has overcome the flesh. And they're waiting to be fed with the revelation, which is the hidden manna from on high, that the new name might be revealed to them. So then, God said, I will write upon you my new name. And into the chains, into the new name, as to the hidden manna, food to eat of, that Jesus said, you know not of. But you that can see, you can understand this morning and tell what's happening. As we pray for the little child. Now the little child is a beautiful little boy. I saw him last night and he looks like he's several weeks old or a month old already. Last night when I was holding him, he opened up his eyes and he just stared at me. He looked at me, you know. He didn't close his eyes like a little one usually does, you know, and kind of like that, like the light hurt him. He just glared right into the light, looked at me, and he sized up Brother John Jameson and a few others. And He acted like he was a few weeks old to begin with. But it's really something because he looks healthy and well. God has blessed him. God has given children. And it is his heritage. And as Samuel was taken to the temple and dedicated, as to the coming of the man child as to the Lord, so it is with the little one this morning. He is symbolic of all of these things that were said. He is symbolic. You are the man child. You, when I say you, not all that came out of Egypt, but the Bible said in Isaac shall the seed be called. So then the seed royal, the one that Satan tried to stamp out in the days of Esther by killing Mordecai and the others, wanted to kill Mordecai, but he never has been able to do it. And so then, here you are. You're here. You're the members. You're the body. You're the bone. You're the flesh. You're the quickening spirit. No more living soul that can sin, but a sealed soul as to a quickening spirit that can never die, this pass from death unto life. Pardon me. So then, praying over the little one and dedicating it, this day has great significance of the sealing in of the church. This day has great significance. God is doing something. God is doing something. So then great significance today in doing this thing. And as we pray, then you pray with us. When the service is over, the child will have been dedicated. But now, you don't go back to your old way of life. You don't go back to the things that are out there. You don't go back to the world. Remember, you're the man child. You meditate in His laws day and night. After this, it's going to prove who is and who is not. Because the gap is going to get bigger from this point on, and you're going to find people that was very religious that's going to revert back to the world. I said that not too long ago. You've already seen some of it. Some that came here regular that even lived on the campground, you've seen them go back to the things that I knew was in their heart. Told my companion they were in their heart. And so you're going to see more of it. They're going to revert back to it in a greater way. He's got his eyes open looking at me over here now. So then, after this, those that love God are going to pull Him closer, closer, and closer. As we pray, you pray with us. Last night, I helped him. He had his little suit on. He's got his little rainbow around his neck. And he's got the little rainbow around his little hands here. Like I say, he's a fine little fellow. Looks just as healthy as he can be. Now, I know that they're thrilled. I know that they are. This is their second boy. And I know that they're thrilled. Betty and I was fortunate, four boys and four girls, so we were fortunate, you know. And if you get two boys, that's good. Okay, let's pray together. Father God of heaven, we're thankful for this precious, darling little child and the great representation of this little child. Father, even as when Jesus came, Lord, there was a prophecy and there was things that was said as to He was predestined to the fall, to the rise, Lord of a nation, of a people. And even this little child represents this great, wonderful thing that You've given at this hour as to the fall, as to the rise of a people. And dear wonderful God, knowing these things that are taking place in heaven, looking and beholding these things, Father, it is such a shocking moment and such a thrilling hour, Lord, in that You've given the wonderful revelation of the lovely Son of God, even Christ suddenly coming to His temple. Lord, the headstone, even as this little child represents, may it be so, Father, in that You've sealed the church in. May all the glory and the honor go to You, to Your wonderful name, Jesus. We give the glory, the honor, and the praise of all that we've seen or heard and known unto the Lord Jesus Christ, asking You to bless us, our family, our spiritual family, Lord, our loved ones, in Jesus' name. Lord, we dedicate this little child. We ask You in the name of Jesus to receive this little child. You gave it unto the Gills family and they give it back unto You. Lord God, may it be so. Oh Lord, even as the name King of all, Father, may it be so. I pray Thee in Jesus' name, Lord, that it be known today of His presence, of His love in our heart and in our life and among us, oh God. Lord, feed this little one when it's hungry. Clothe it when it has need of clothing. Make its enemies thine enemies. And when they rise up against it, Lord, You rise up against them to make its enemies to be at peace with it. Father, to never let it go hungry, to never let it be in fear, frustration, or disease, or anxieties. But God, bless it. Help the family to bring it up in the nutrient admonition of the Lord. May it be a great vessel for Thee as Thou, should You tarry, O God. May it be a great person of God for Christ to stand for the right thing and to love the ways of righteousness. We ask You to bless it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Let's sing that song together. We'll give the glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Sing it again with me. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.
Jesus, and we'll sing of His wonderful love. Can you sing it one more time? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. To sing of His wonderful love.
Just one more time.
And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love.
Just one more time.
We will give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love.
You know, it was so beautiful, the little angel that they brought. He sang Silent Night. You know, I'll never get one of those things that'll play very long. But this little thing that they gave Sister Betty, you can wind it up and it just keeps on. Silent Night, Holy Night. You know, at Christmas time, they sing Silent Night, Holy Night. They sing the beautiful Christmas carols because it represents Jesus' birthday. And at that time, people that are in the outer circumference, they become knowledgeable of Christ or aware that there was a Christ. One day a Jesus was born, and they become aware of it. But you know, some wonder why the beautiful lights in our sanctuary. But folks, every day is Christmas with us. We have Christ in our heart. We are aware every moment, every thought, that there is a God, that there is a Christ. And this beautiful rainbow covenant is with us. And that we are with Him and He is with us. And we are in the wonderful place called glory. So every day is the rejoicing. Every day we sing the lovely songs of Jesus. Carols, if you want to call it, or whatever. But we sing it because we love Jesus. And because Jesus is a part of us. And this is little Bethlehem, where the Christ child is born. And again we see the new birth as different ones come to God. We see the birth of the man child year after year as he's caught up to the throne, as different people are born into the kingdom of God. This is the wonderful time of his birth, the wonderful time of the catching up. What a beautiful thing. Raptured away, caught up into that wonderful mind of God as a man thinketh in his heart. So he is caught up into those glorious thoughts of the wonderful word that's made spirit. Jesus said, if you can hear my word, though it's a vocal utterance, though it's a sound from human lips, yet when you get it, it'll be a thought, Jesus said, that'll go down into your heart. And it'll be life as it revives you, as you think it. It will bring you into eternal life and transformate your entire world, as in the foreknowledge of God when He brought this world into existence. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that says to you, they say to me, a Savior is born, even Christ Jesus. Born in a manger, though you be a Savior. Saviors in the plural. Though you be the members of the body, as to the Savior, singular. Though you be the body of Christ. Born in a manger, that is, this world is but a manger. And the beast of this world, you are born among them, but one day you're going to leave those beasts because you're not part of them. You're the Christ child.
And they're going to bring gifts just as they gave gifts to the people of Israel when they started out of Egypt. The plagues are going to come and they're going to give all kind of gifts and say that I heard God is with you. Let me go with you. But it's so wonderful. Even this sanctuary, before you had your nice carpet floor, it was but straw and but shavings. It was but as a manger. Today it's a lovely temple. Let's sing one more chorus together, can we?
I love Him because He is mine.
Sing it with me now.
I love Him because He's divine. I will love Him forever, it seems, because He's Jesus the Nazarene.
Sing it again.
I love Him because He is mine. I love Him because He's divine. I will love Him forever, it seems, for He's Jesus the Nazarene.
You know, Solomon gave the illustration that when the night was past, after the night had gone, one of the little babies was dead. One of the little children was dead. And there came forth the two mothers before the great judge of that day, the great man of wisdom. And each mother claimed the little child. And Solomon, not knowing what to do, because he did not know the mothers nor the children, he called for a sword. Out of his great wisdom, he called for a sword. And he said, take, rend the child, cut him in half, and give each one part of the child. Could you imagine what those women thought? Someone would say, Brother Pike, anybody in their right mind, even the wrong mother, would have said no. But you know they didn't. You know why they didn't? Because if you didn't have a child, you didn't have an inheritance. And if that wicked mother that lied could only get part of that child, even if it took the life of the child, she would get an inheritance, at least part of it. But he said, rend the child, cut it in half. And all of a sudden, one, as if to say, good and well. You know, we say this sometimes. Trinity's good enough for me. I'll take the rent veil of Calvary and I'll emphasize the cross as to his death. And the other mother said, no. No. In my heart, he's not dead. He's the resurrection. Let her keep the child. Let the world have him. Someday he'll be old enough and he'll recognize me. And he'll leave the world. And they won't have their religious ritualistics and all of those things of their programs and their parties. And as the Ark of the Covenant was taken from the Philistines, it'll come back home. She said, no, rather than kill the child, I'll lose my inheritance as of now. And I'll let her have the child. And so the world got the inheritance. And they've still got it to that extent. They've still got it because she surrendered it in her heart. But as to the great judge said, no, that's not the mother. The mother is the one that cared for the life. Said, through the intellectual darkness, as we would say to you today, you had a chance and grace brought liberty to all and gave you the chance for new birth and gave you a life. And you are a human being with a right and a sovereignty as to become the eternal Christ child or the eternal life. But you've smothered him to death in the night as the mother did with your intellectual covetousness and gullibleness, worldly desire, protruding attitude, self-will, won't listen, can't follow, can't conform, doing the evil things, so afraid that you'll be robbed of the flesh and the things of the flesh. You've smothered your little one to death. The conception of your heart, it's died out all there is about Jesus. And now's the changing time as to the judge and his authority, and as to his decision and that which is rendered, as to the mother that cuddled it and loved it and brought it light by the mind of Christ during that dark era. Brought it light and nursed it and kept it, and all through the night while the mother of the evil side slumbered and slept and killed her little one careless and didn't care for it. This mother has arisen. The Bible said a virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. She's a crown to her husband's head. For she will rise up in the night and in the cold, and she will watch her little children, and she will take care of her little children, and she will provide for her little children. You know, such has been my wife. My wife has been one of the greatest mothers that ever lived. All night long, rising up, day after day, and week after week, and year after year. Even to the extent that one night I heard something fall and hit the floor. And it scared me because I thought something bad had happened, and I got up to find my wife trying to get to the little one. Had fell on her face. She'd blacked out. Her strength had left her. Trying to look after the little one so that he could make it through the night, providing for him. See, but the wicked mother didn't do that. The wicked mother's out yonder. She's an intellectual, denominational power of religious activity with a name that she lives, but she's dead. But you are not like that. You've cuddled your little one, and he's still alive. He's still alive. Like the man that's on the football team, or was telling me over here in Athens, said, my baby seemed healthy, my baby seemed well. Said everything seemed fine, and all of a sudden he just died. Said he was gone. Within just a few seconds he died. He just quit breathing. Said we have another one now, but said we're real fearful. Afraid something might happen. So you don't ever know. You need Jesus. Your life can be snuffed out like that. The little one's life can be snuffed out like that. See, so we need to cuddle him, to love him. Through the darkness of this intellectual nightmare that we're all having, let's be careful. Let's watch. Let's pray. You can be dead. That is, the child is dead. In that you're to bring forth, the child is dead. You're dead, twice dead, plucked up by the root, living in trespasses and sin, the pleasures of the world. They that live in pleasure, they're dead. Like the song I wrote, I've changed my mind. He showed me heartaches. Here's what he said. They that live in pleasure are among the dead. He showed me sorrow and tear-dimmed eyes. We talked it over and I changed my mind. Let's sing another little chorus together, can we? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it again, can you? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. When I look down here in front of me and I see Larry and the sister's little girl standing here, Tabitha, meaning resurrection. She kind of gets embarrassed a little bit when I say that. But Tabitha's standing down here in front of us, meaning resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Bible said, and he alone dwells in that light. Jesus alone dwells in that light. While we bow our heads together, you love Jesus. I love Jesus. We love Jesus. Isn't that right? While we've got our heads bowed together, I want to pray, and I want to ask God to help us. I want to ask God to be with you. The Bible said, God loveth Jesus, him hath the Father sealed. Do you feel sealed in? You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, sealed? It means your spirit cannot sin anymore. It cannot die. It cannot do wrong. It is sealed from evil. It is sealed. You're sealed in from evil. Let's pray together, can we? Father God of heaven, once again, I ask you to bless these people. I ask you to stretch out your hand of healing, your hand of deliverance, your hand of blessings. Oh God, as I feel the great and mighty anointing right now, I thank you, oh God, for being caught up to the throne and that you've caught me up to the throne. And Father, for these that are the members of your body that you've caught up to the throne, I thank you for these that are around the throne and these that are there in heaven, Father, that are rejoicing over the transitional changes of the translating into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Thank you for this recognition. And even as we recognize the healing and so it comes to pass in our physical being, having recognized it in our spirit as to a finished work, so we recognize the translation as in our spirit as to a finished work, that Thessalonians' change might be made manifest in our mortal genes as to our Heavenly Father, now being the beloved sons of God, yet to be manifested as to the world, that they may see us rule with a rod of iron to break the nations into shivers as one would the pottery. Oh God, seeing that ye are the potter and the nations are the clay, making one vessel to honor and another one unto dishonor. I thank you that because of the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ the Lord, by his grace, long suffering and mercy, thou hast made me through thine own love a vessel unto honor. And these that believe, even so, Father, is it with thee. For it shall come to pass, as you have said, that whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord or calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's sing just a chorus or two and we'll dismiss. I found a new place in the heavenlies, a place of peace and a place of rest. I found this new place in God's heavenlies, in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Sing it again. We found a new place in the heavenlies, a place of peace, a place of rest. We found this new place in God's heavenlies, in Jesus Christ, my Lord. While you got your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Cartridge to come up if he will and dismiss us. Cartridge, the name means little book. Jesus was the little book. John said, take the little book and eat the little book. shall be sweet in thy mouth as honey, bitter to the flesh or the belly, in that the serpent was put on his belly, death, bitterness. The testimony shall be sweet, talking of Jesus, tasting of Jesus, but self-denial as to robbing the flesh, it will be a bitter experience. So let's take the little book and let's eat all of it. And then, as it was said, he set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and swore by him that liveth forever that time would be no more. For in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God shall be finished. The mystery of God, Revelation 11:15, he sounded and it was finished. And Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. For the trump of God shall sound. The last trump. It shall sound. For it is finished. The dead in Christ, the resurrection. I want you to close your eyes with me. Raise your hands. And I want you to sing this song with me as we close the service. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Sing it with me. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Sing it one more time. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Just one more time. Oh, time shall be no more.